You are Locked On MLB, your daily MLB podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Hello, baseball fans, and welcome to Locked On MLB, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This is the daily podcast where we cover all of Major League Baseball, and I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully. You can follow the show on Twitter at LockedOnMLB, or you can follow me at Sully Baseball, or on Instagram at Sully Baseball Podcast. You can get the show on the brand new podcasting app Himalaya, as well as Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, and all the places you get podcasts. You can listen to the show directly on the website, LockedOnMLB.com. And when you get in your car, tell your smart device to play podcast Locked On MLB. Check out all the other shows on the Locked On Podcast Network and hear local experts break down your team in depth. It truly is your team every day. Today's date is the 15th day of May, 2019. And hey, thanks for the people who wrote in yesterday talking about my birthday podcast that I did from Oracle Park. I still want to call it AT&T Park. I got some people writing in reviews, as I asked you to do. I said there was a trivia question that could be that if you answered the trivia question correctly, then I would send you the Pablo Sandoval pitching bobblehead. We do have at least one, but I know that Apple Podcasts and iTunes are sometimes a little slow in posting the comments that you put on. So I'm going to give it an extra day and see which one is timestamped first. You know, sometimes things need to be moderated. So I know one person guessed it correctly. And the trivia question was, can you name the person who ended one World Series with a walk-off hit, ended another one with an out, eliminated his team, and in a third World Series, was named World Series MVP? And I think one interesting fact about this person is he did those in three different decades with three different teams. And the player who I'm referring to, the answer is, drumroll please, Edgar Renteria. Edgar Renteria ended the 1997 World Series with a base hit up the middle, eliminated the Indians. He ended the 2004 World Series for the Red Sox, you know, the clinching the Red Sox moment when he was a member of the Cardinals. He was the one who grounded out to Keith Foulke to end the World Series. And then in 2010, as a member of the San Francisco Giants, Edgar Renteria was named the World Series MVP against the Texas Rangers. Three decades, three different World Series, three very significant moments, and three different franchises. I thought that was pretty cool. Now, I know at least one person put it on there, but I want to see if it's timestamped, which person got it. But that's if you guessed Bill Strope, you guessed Derek Jeter. Not a bad guess, but wrong. Derek Jeter never had a walk-off hit. There was none of the Joe Torre Yankee years had a World Series that ended with a walk-off hit for them. There's only one against them. That was the Luis Gonzalez hit. So that was that trivia question that I made up on the fly at Oracle Park. If I find I have another bobblehead to give away or some other piece of junk I have that I can throw out as a little, you know, as an incentive for you. But thanks for those of you who wrote the positive reviews. And I got a couple of negative ones, too. And I can, you know, I was a comedian for many years. I can hack it. Now, I want to point out one, which was from a listener, Ball and Mitt, who said the show is MLB in its title. And like the team-centered podcasts that talk about their home teams, MLB Pod should talk about current baseball news of all teams instead of instead of Sully 2.0, which I'm not interested in. I was under the impression I was talking about all the teams, but hey, I'll do my best to cover the events of the past. I'll tell you what I think, though. And I'm not saying you're wrong, Ball and Mitt. I'm not going to please everyone. Believe me, I'm not going to please everyone with this podcast. I get it. I know it. Some people have written very nice things. Some people have not written nice things. I think what I want to do is talk about what's happening in Major League Baseball. give you an overview, but you're not listening to this podcast to get highlights. You're not listening to this podcast to find out who won the night before. Hopefully you listen to this podcast. I'm going to tell you my thoughts about the events of the day before and try to give you a point of view and try to give you some opinions. You know, you get scores real time. You know, I can't remember the last time that I thought, no, I wonder who won that game. Well, I'll wake up tomorrow and find out. No, I pick up the phone and look at it. And so I just try to tell you a little bit of my thoughts and also give you some of my opinion. But if that's not what you're into, I'll do my best to, you know, I don't know, to cover some of the more teams than I have in the past. But I'm going to do what I like to do, which is talk about baseball as a whole. Now, the games of May 14th, my birthday, are now over. Carrasco pitched a terrific game for the Cleveland Indians and won the early game today. And that was a game where the Indians won against the White Sox by a final score of 9-0. I'm always cracked up when I see a final score of 9-0 for this reason. If a team forfeits a game, for whatever reason, the score is officially put in as 9-0. That's the forfeit score. And when I see a team beats another team exactly by the score 9-0, I think the other team would have had the same result if they didn't show up. You just might as well, the White Sox, you just might as well not even have shown up. Whenever Carlos Carrasco pitches well, and he pitched very, very well today for Cleveland, my heart sinks just a little bit for this reason. I really wanted the Cleveland Indians to win the World Series in 2016. Yes, against the Cubs as well. I was not a big fan of some of the people on the Cubs that year, but I'm such a Francona fan, and I wanted to see Cleveland win. I wanted to see them get off the schneid. I wanted them to redeem that franchise. And just before the postseason began, they sustained injuries to Carlos Carrasco and Danny Salazar. Now, Salazar wound up appearing in a couple of mop-up roles in the World Series, but he was no longer the pitcher he was during the regular season. But Carrasco didn't appear at all. And the Indians desperately needed a solid third starter in that postseason. And, you know, they cut and pasted it, and hell, they got to within one swing of winning the World Series. If they had scored a run in the bottom of the ninth of Game 7 of the World Series that year, this would have been a moot point. But I think about Carrasco, if he were healthy, even at half strength, would that have been enough to put the Indians over the top, and most importantly, not ride Corey Kluber like a rented mule? I mean, I think he just ran out of gas when he had that bad start in Game 7 because he just had to constantly pitch. He constantly had to give the ball to him. So whenever I see Carrasco pitch well, there's part of me thinks, oh man, if only he were healthy in that year's postseason. Well, I'll tell you a pitcher who pitched great, and I have a little bit of egg on my face because as a Boston Red Sox fan, and I am unrepentant Red Sox fan, I was thinking, do you know what? Maybe the Sox should consider trading Sale. I said that after the World Series because I was getting a little nervous that he tends to slow down in the late months. And I thought, do you know what? If he collapses and it happens quickly, like what happened to Tim Lincecum or Johan Santana, then I don't know about this. Do I want this to happen on the Red Sox watch? And when he signed the huge contract and started the season horribly, I started saying out loud, you know what? This doesn't look good. This does not fare well for Chris Sale and the Red Sox. And you know what? I was dead wrong. He's been spectacular in the last bunch of starts, including striking out 17 batters in 7 innings. And they didn't push him and say, yeah, we're going to try to go for the record. Nope. They got the 7 solid innings out of him. That's all they need. And of course, they blew it and lost in 11 innings to the Colorado Rockies, 5-4, in what could be the dumbest loss of the year for the Red Sox. Some other interesting games, I think, that happened last night. Vlad Jr., in a game between two teams that are not going to be a factor in the standings this year, the Giants and the Toronto Blue Jays. But Vladdy Jr., Vlad Guerrero Jr., hit his first two home runs. Boom, boom, hit them both. And looked pretty dang good in the process as Toronto won that 7-3. The thing that I kind of am bummed a little bit that they've sent, the Giants have sent Derek Rodriguez back to the minor leagues, because I really want to see Derek Rodriguez face Vladdy Jr. Why? Why that specific matchup? Because Derek Rodriguez is the son of Hall of Famer Ivan Rodriguez. I wanted to see a matchup of the son of one Hall of Famer against the son of another Hall of Famer. So sue me. I wanted to see that. Now, let's come in. Some other games. The Washington Nationals, I'm really starting to be a broken record on this, but something has to be done. Because right now, the Nationals should be a team that is in first place. I'll say it. They should be leading the National League East. They should be in first. We're about a quarter of the way through the season. Are they in first? No. Are they in second? No. Are they in third? No. And this is a division where there's only one team with their nose above 500 right now, and that's Philadelphia. I'll get to them in a second. So it's not like they're playing in a powerhouse division right now. The Nats are not playing above 500. The Nats are not playing above 400. The Nats are being outscored by 29 runs. The Nats right now are only ahead of the Orioles. Their Beltway partner is only ahead of them by a game or so in the loss column at this point. I didn't look it up right now, and I don't even have to. They're both playing sub-400 ball. You're expecting that from Baltimore because they're in full rebuild mode. This is a team whose window of opportunity is right now, and they can't even get above 400. And I'll tell you what's a big problem. This is a problem for the Nationals right now. There are several times, if you're looking at the scoreboard on your MLB app and a player has a no-hitter the second half of the game, they put a little red bar under the score that says no-hitter. So if you're checking the scores, I was playing around here and checking the scores, there's a no-hitter going on here. More than once this season, that little no-hitter bar has been in a game involving the Washington Nationals, and not in the way that the Nationals wanted to be involved with them, that there being no hit in the second part of the game. When you're a team that is, or at least should be considered, a pennant contender, and you're multiple times being no hit in the second half of the game, that's not a good sign. I just bit my tongue, literally chomped on it, chomped on my damn tongue, talk about the Nats. It's stupid. It's stupid with a capital stupid that they're playing this badly. In a division where the Braves are not playing like a house of fire, the Mets are not exactly burning it up, and it really wasn't that long ago. Do you know how long ago we're talking about? The 25th, less than a month ago, the Philadelphia Phillies were just a game over 500. And since that date, even though the Phillies got clobbered last night by Milwaukee, since that date, the Phillies are 11-5. They're playing like an elite team. Since that date, the teams that have had the best record in baseball, have, or at least in the National League, have been Chicago, Philadelphia, Los Angeles, and Milwaukee. Also Boston and Houston. You know, some of the teams you're expecting to do well. Philadelphia has started to put the aft thrusters on. And they're a flawed team. The Phillies are not a perfect team by any stretch of the imagination. But they're being aided, much like Cleveland was last year, by a division that around them can't get out of their own way. I can almost excuse the Mets for that because they've been so flawed that everything had to go right for them to become a contender. I can't really accept what's happened to Atlanta, a team that won the division last year, but mainly won the division because the door was left wide open by the underachieving Nationals and the Phillies who fell on their face. But the fact that the Nationals are a bad team now, they're not a mediocre team. They're a bad team. In that same stretch where the Phillies have gone 11-5, the Nats have gone 5-13. And only one team in the National League has been worse than them in that stretch. And that's been the Marlins, and they're not a major league team anymore. The Giants have played better than them. The Padres have played better than them. The freaking Reds have played better than the Nationals as of late. And now we're going to be approaching, we're in mid-May right now. Soon it will be June, the first real checkpoint of the season. Something must be done. But I'll tell you what you should do. You should subscribe to the new Himalaya podcasting app. What's that, you say? Well, it is the new app that you can get at your app store and take advantage of it for curated playlists and new features every day, which in this ever-expanding podcast universe, you kinda, sorta need. Now, notice I've been saying in the past, it's been an ever-exchanging podcast world. No, it's a universe. You wanna travel this universe a little better? Then do what your pal Sully did and go download Himalaya at your app store. Let's take a break. Let me also say this. Hiring used to be hard, and getting a job used to be hard. If you were trying to get someone to your company, there's all these resumes you have to sift through, and if you're trying to get your resume seen by the right people, you might as well make your resume into a paper airplane and throw it into the Pacific Ocean. You got multiple job sites, stacks of resume, confusing review process. But today, hiring can be easy, and you only have to go to one place to get it done, and that is ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter sends your job to over 100 of the web's leading job boards. They don't stop there. With their powerful matching technology, ZipRecruiter scans thousands of resumes to find people with the right experience and invite them to apply to your job. And that works great on both sides. Is if you're trying to find the right job, ZipRecruiter sends you reminders, hey, we think you're a good match for this. You may not have known this. Come on, Sully, send your resume. There's a job in Tacoma just waiting for you. As applications come in, ZipRecruiter analyzes each one, spotlights the top candidates, so you never miss a great match. ZipRecruiter is so effective that 80% of employers who post on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site within the first day. And guess what? My listeners, yes, you're my listeners. So you listen to Sully when I talk to you. My listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. You can afford that. You don't have to check your available balance. You've got enough money because we're saying it's for free at this exclusive web address, which is ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. That's ZipRecruiter.com/LOCKEDON. ZipRecruiter.com/lockedon. ZipRecruiter. You know what it is? It's the smartest way to hire. Dodgers had a little bit of a slugfest with San Diego, and Manny Machado homering off of Clayton Kershaw was fun, but in the end, the Dodgers won 6-3, and that's an important thing for the Dodgers to do, to keep the San Diego Padres a little bit at arm's distance. They're 5 games ahead of them, and 4.5 ahead of the Arizona Diamondbacks, and let's face it, the Dodgers are just playing unbelievably good baseball right now. And I just have nothing but faith in them right now. They just look like a team that is on a mission. They're a major league team that wants to win the World Series. All major league teams want to win the World Series, but they're a team that looks like they're built to do it. Now tomorrow they continue their series with the San Diego Padres. And while I think the Dodgers are the team to beat in the National League. I think tomorrow's going to be a tough game for them. Maeda is pitching for the Dodgers, and Strom is pitching for the San Diego Padres. Matt Strom, left-hander. I'm going to make a prediction in this game. I predict that Matt Strom will throw the first no-hitter in the history of the San Diego Padres. Write it down. I think they're going to do it. Now, I just want to talk about this briefly because I crapped on the Nationals because they were a team of great aspirations and should have been looking at the postseason as theirs to grab. They fired Dusty Baker after winning back-to-back division titles with him, and a hit here or a hit there, a bloop here or a bloop there, they would have moved on to the National League Championship Series. There was a tremendous amount of impatience that went on. Steinbrenner-esque from the 1980s of switching managers in Washington. Now, I personally think it's because Rizzo has been in charge, the general manager has been in charge of the team. In 2012, they made the decision to not put Steven Strasburg on the postseason roster because he was coming off of Tommy John surgery, and they went into the postseason without Strasburg. And the starting pitching in 2012 for the Nationals was disastrous in the postseason against St. Louis, and the bullpen fell apart in that final game. But the mindset was they're not just trying to win the World Series in 2012. They're trying to win multiple divisions and multiple titles. Now, in one sense, Rizzo has been vindicated. Strasburg has remained a solid pitcher over the years, and the Nationals have made it to multiple postseasons, 2014, 2016, and 2017. But that's not how we judge this. The way that you judge the success of a franchise is the championships that they've won. And the big criticism that he got in 2012 was, you don't know when it's all going to fit together. So you can't act like, well, you know, we're just going to do this a bunch. You have to go for it when you have a chance. You don't know when it's going to all click together. And if Strasburg was on the roster and pitched poorly in 2012, at least you could have said, well, at least we lost with our best roster. Again, if they had won against the Giants in 2014, the Los Angeles in 2016, or Chicago in 2017, then it all would have been vindicated, and he would look like one of the smart, long-term thinking GMs in baseball history. But that has kind of loomed over this franchise, that they've had these amazingly talented players, including Harper, including Scherzer, and haven't been able to get past round one. And so I believe that that's led to a certain amount of panic from the front office to move the chess pieces around in kind of a rapid-fire way to keep the attention and the distraction on the manager's side, which is why when Davey Johnson retired after 2013 and Matt Williams won Manager of the Year in 2014, was fired in 2015. In comes Dusty. They win back-to-back divisions, but they don't make it past. They fire Dusty to bring in the young Dave Martinez, which has so far been a cataclysmic disaster. And Rizzo is perilously close to seeing this Nationals team become irrelevant. And the bringing up of, you shouldn't have wasted that opportunity. You never know when you're going to get that shot again. But let's just talk about Dusty for a second. Dusty Baker is someone who we should celebrate. And I've talked about this a little bit, but my goodness, everywhere he went, they went to the postseason. He took the Giants to the World Series. He took the Cubs to Game 7 of the NLCS. He took the Reds to within one swing of beating the Giants in the 2012 postseason. And he took the Nationals to back-to-back division titles. And when you, especially when you look at the Reds and the Nationals and you look at their records after he left, it's been pretty grim, hasn't it? It's been pretty terrible, hasn't it? The Reds haven't been relevant since Dusty left. And then the Nationals, they had to go on a furious run just to get above 500 last year. And now, let's just quickly take a look at the managerial record of Dave Martinez, shall we? A person who I have brought up that I think is a smart baseball man, has a lot of, you know, a lot of experience in the coaching world and everything like that. He just might not be a fit in Washington. He's 98 and 105 as a manager in Washington. That's not a small sample size. He's a sub-500 manager with Hall of Famers on his roster. That's not good. That's the opposite of good. That's actually bad. Now, I had suggested that the Nationals think long and hard about Joe Girardi, which would make sense in a way when you look at the pattern of Nationals management. They had Dave Johnson, who was a World Series winner with the Mets in 86, also took the Reds and Orioles to the postseason. Borderline Hall of Fame manager, I think probably Hall of Fame manager. And when he left, they brought in a young hotshot managerial prospect, like Matt Williams, who was supposed to be the Nationals manager for a long time. But when that didn't work out, they went back to the veteran. In comes Dusty. Then to the young person. There's Dave Martinez. Now go back to the veteran, Joe Girardi. Won National of the Year with the Marlins. Won a World Series with the Yankees. Could he be one of the next managers to win a pennant in both leagues, a World Series in both leagues? But then I ask this. Why not just bring back Dusty? Why not? Teams have brought back managers before. Hell, the Marlins brought back Jack McKeon. The Blue Jays brought back Cito Gaston. The Blue Jays also brought back Gibbons, and it worked out well the second time around. Sometimes bring them back. You know, I mean, the Yankees certainly kept bringing back Bob Lemon, Lou Piniella, and Billy Martin in like a little merry-go-round. Throw Gene Michael in there, too, for good measure. But why not bring back Dusty? Why can't we admit, in a way, that he's a good manager? He's a good manager. Are you going to talk about how he constructs lineups? Yeah, it drove me crazy, too. You could talk about some of his in-game management decisions. Yeah, sometimes they're bananas. But do you know what? His teams win. He's doing something right. And the teams lose when he leaves. So right now, there's an emergency going on in Washington, which is not just a lost season, but a lost legacy. One of the worst things that can happen to a franchise is losing your relevancy and looking back at an era where you had a ton of talent and you couldn't win it all. You didn't have that team to point to saying, yep, that's the team that won it. Up the street here is the San Francisco Giants, and they had several teams, including a team where they had Juan Marichal. They had Orlando Cepeda. They had Willie Mays. They had Willie McCovey. They had Gaylord Perry on the team, Hall of Famers at the same time, and couldn't win a World Series. The Red Sox had Fisk, Yastrzemski, Rice, Lynn, Evans, Eckersley, all the great players that they had, George Boomer Scott, Bill Spaceman Lee, had that group together for a while. Couldn't win it. Couldn't win it. Think about the Indians teams in the 1990s. Kenny Lofton. Some of the teams had Albert Bell. Some of the teams had Carlos Baerga. They had Omar Vizquel. They had Manny Ramirez. They had Jim Thome. And they didn't have the winner. those great teams they had in Texas were loaded with MVPs and great sluggers. And no one, there was no year where they won at all. The Pirates with Barry Bonds in his prime couldn't win at all. The Mariners had Edgar Martinez, Ken Griffey Jr., Alex Rodriguez, Randy Johnson, and Lou Piniella at the helm. And they couldn't get to the World Series. Those legacies of, we had so much talent that we couldn't do it, are some of the most frustrating for all of a franchise you can imagine. And that's what Washington is staring in the face right now. And there should be a sense of desperation that this won't be us. We won't let this happen to us. Maybe we made a mistake letting Dusty go. I'm telling you, right here and now, as I'm standing in the luxurious Locked On MLB podcast studios in Palo Alto, California, that if the Nationals brought back Dusty Baker, they would play better. I'm not saying there wouldn't be moments you'd pull your hair out. I'm not saying there wouldn't be moments where you're all going, geez, I can't believe we're sitting through this. But they play better than they're playing now. And maybe, I don't know, just maybe, there'd be a sense of relief in that dugout to say, hey, at least we're doing it the way that got us in the first place a few years ago anyway. Pull the ripcord. Think about Dusty. That could be the title of this show. Think about Dusty. I don't know. I hopefully hit enough bases and thoughts there. But that's my main issue. I want to see the Nationals do this. I want to see the Nationals do well. I don't want to have the Nationals be on that pile with those other franchises. That's what I want to talk about tonight. So, anyway, thanks for listening today. We've got a lot of stuff to talk about tomorrow. Until then, make sure to subscribe to the show in the new Himalaya podcasting app. And check us out on Google Play, Apple Podcasts, Podbean, all the places you get podcasts. Follow the show on Twitter and on Instagram on LockedOnMLB. Easy for you to stay. Follow me on Twitter at Sully Baseball, Instagram, Sully Baseball Podcast, and listen to the other great baseball shows on the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. This has been Locked On MLB for the 15th day of May, 2019. I'm your host, Paul Francis Sullivan. Please call me Sully.